Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Tough Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Hello, welcome along. It's a Friday episode. First of all, Sam, I'm going to say, have you been watching Dez this week on ITV?
No.
Have you not seen it? It's the dramatisation of the Dennis Nielsen story.
Really?
You seem completely oblivious to this.
Yeah, most people have been watching this.
It's three parts, and it was David Tennant playing Dennis Nielsen,
right,
in an eerily fucking accurate portrayal of him. Well, I mean, I don't know how he spoke, but in terms of like how he looked and everything, it was just like fucking watching Dennis Nielsen, which was pretty chilling. Three parts, Monday to Wednesday this week. It'll all be on the ITV Hub. You've got to watch it, Sam. It's fucking brilliant.
Really?
I don't really
watch things like that usually, about killers. Yeah. I watched the Fred West one with him out of The Wire once. That was quite good. But
yeah,
I find it a bit scary.
Well, this was kind of a bit scary. I tell you what as well, it was a bit weird because I found myself liking Dennis Nielsen.
Well, they're very charismatic, aren't they, psychopaths?
Well, this was it. He was very charismatic and intelligent and witty in how he was portrayed. I mean, obviously, the stuff he did wasn't very charismatic or intelligent.
Nothing witty about that.
There's nothing witty about severing a head and boiling it in a pot, is there? You know, not even ironically.
I don't want, like, spoilers, but just in a nutshell, why did he do those things?
Well, in the title of the book about him that was written by a writer called Brian Masters, who spent a lot of time with him from from his arrest onwards, Killing for Company.
What, it just gave him something to do? He was lonely.
He was lonely, yeah. He wanted people to come back to his flat, but then he ended up killing them. But then sometimes he would put the corpses in the armchair across from where he was sitting and they watched the telly together. So there's a lot going on.
But, you know, listen, if you want company, I suppose that one thing is then they don't leave if you can kill them. Because I remember I had a couple of mates did this when you're at their house when you're a kid and suddenly you get spooked and you think, fuck this, I'm going home.
Yeah.
And they really don't want you to go home.
Yeah.
And I remember a mate who like literally went to the front door and was sort of like blocking my way, right?
Fucking hell.
And I sometimes think about that kid and I think at the time I was probably creeped out a little bit, but actually now I look back and I just feel really sorry for the kid.
Well, I mean, you don't know what his family circumstances were like, do you? Do you know what I mean?
It could be really dark and bleak, or it could just be a simple case of there was nothing dark as such, but he was lonely. And people don't think about that. When you're a kid, you do get lonely. I remember being lonely when I was a kid. Have you got any violin sound effects you could drop into this bit?
I haven't, no. I could probably find some.
No, but sometimes, you know what? Every kid gets lonely, right? Mm. Because being a kid, even if you've got siblings, it can be quite solitary, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're at school, it can be okay, but you spend long periods at home and no one's really interested in the shit that you're interested in other than you. Even if you've got older or younger siblings, they're never that interested full-time in your little obsessions. You basically are left to your own devices a lot and loneliness often also equals boredom, and boredom can get you down. So I think a lot of kids do get lonely, and the portrayal of kids sometimes is that they're all just always having a fucking brilliant right laugh.
Yeah, we're being kids. It's brilliant.
Let's kid
it up.
We're climbing
trees. We're on our BMXs. It's fantastic.
Kid it up. Get a catapult. Pick your nose. Cycle around on your bike playing conkers. Right, yeah.
Tie a firework to a cat's tail.
Do some digging out the front. Do some digging out the back. Play Robin Hood. Play Dick Turpin. Yeah, of course being a kid is awesome, but it's not awesome 100% of the time. And even sometimes your great fun is punctuated with loneliness. Anyway, get back to this.
The highs are high, but the lows are low.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
Being a kid is a little bit like the story of Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street. In a way,
but without
that
the
film is analogous to every British childhood.
Yeah.
In that you're either fucking really having it fucking big style, or you're fucking lonely and bored, there's not many in-betweens.
I used to like being on my own when I was a kid. I mean, I had friends and stuff, but I didn't mind being on my own because I would like listen to music and stuff. I'd pretend to be a DJ and do my own radio shows in my bedroom.
This is Andy Dawson on Atlantic 391.
It's the Top 40 Countdown. I mean, if you've listened to Top Flight Tune Machine and heard how adept I am at doing the Top 40 Countdowns, we're doing that. You know, that all adds up. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it all falls into place. I mean,
decades.
I heard it and I thought, aye, he's not new to this. Looks like our Andy was a childhood DJ.
Yeah.
A bedroom DJ in his childhood.
Yeah, or maybe hospital radio. Who knows? But no.
Yeah. Well, I did occupy myself as I've documented, you know, there was lots of digging. I liked to go out front and kick a ball against the wall. And what was the other thing I liked doing? Oh, I liked to do really enormous football dice tournaments, with like 100 teams that went on forever and complicated rules. It just occupied me. So, yeah, you got things to do. But all I'm saying is you can sometimes get lonely. And so I suppose the reason I started talking about this was, can I understand why Dennis Nielsen murdered people and put them in an armchair to watch telly with? In a way, yes. Because I saw that how desperate all those years ago that mate of mine was to stop me leaving his home. All he wanted was for me to stay and provide company. Now, who knows? That kid may have been driven to kill me just in order to keep my physical form.
I mean,
under
I was
going to
ask, has he killed since? Do you know? Have you
don't
got
know.
Any evidence?
Fell out of touch. I wouldn't be, if I'm honest, I wouldn't be. I'd be shocked but not surprised if it got back to me that that particular kid had murdered people.
And the thing is, it's hard to know. You can't track all murders. You don't know who's become a murderer who you used to know when you were younger. Because this is my birthday, right, this year. Me and my son were sitting up late. It was my birthday. We both had a couple of beers. Well, I'd had some beers. He hadn't had any. And we were just flicking through what was on the telly. Sky Crime. And it was at one of these documentaries, Notable Murderers or something like that. And the subject of the documentary was a murderer from just a few years ago from the Northwest, and his name, Andrew Dawson.
Oh.
I was like, fucking hell, what?
Oh, no.
I'm a murderer? I had
Disaster.
No idea about this. And this had just gone on. He killed like two people. It was a few years
ago. That's a nightmare.
So we watched it.
I'm
really
glad
good.
The story didn't get bigger, because then you're in a situation where you might have to change your name.
Exactly. Then you've got people called Harold Shipman or Fred West going around.
Exactly. There must be loads of people called Fred West in this country.
Yeah, of course.
It's a very common name. In fact, let's be honest, Fred West is actually quite a cool name.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, if he was like an alt-country singer-songwrier called Fred West.
Yeah, Fred West.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, if West Ham signed a player called Fred West, I'd be well excited.
And I'll say this as well. Probably going back to the mid-1990s, which is about the right time, but if there was a buxom glamour model with dark hair bouncing down over her shoulders and her name was Rose West, we'd be into that, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Get her on the cover, lads, back in the Lad Mag days.
Fucking hell. Rose West.
I want her on the cover and we're giving her five pages, two spreads and a single inside. The advertisers all love it.
Are we doing an interview? Nah, we just make that bit up.
Make it up. Pretend in the interview that she's really into football and shagging fat, ugly blokes. That's what that goes down a treat.
And then imagine if they got married. Fred West, the alternative indie singer, and Rose West, the model. What a couple that would be.
Did happen.
Super couple. It's sliding doors, isn't it?
Different
lifestyles.
They could have been like the Liam and Patsy of their time.
That reminds me, there's the next week on ITV's Crime Slot, there's a documentary about the love affair between Rose West and Myra Hindley. Did you know about that?
In the neck?
Well, in the nick, obviously, yeah. Not on Civvy Street. Yeah. That's odd. I mean, and that's helmed by Trevor McDonald.
But
hello, I am Trevor McDonald. That's the funniest thing Lenny Henry's ever done. Although, I'm a Lenny Henry revisionist. I've always found him hilarious. People are like, oh, God, Lenny Henry. But Lenny Henry, everything. You know, saying okay for ages and ages. Mm. Eating condensed milk sandwiches.
Yeah.
Or was it evaporated milk? I can't remember.
Can't remember.
Delroy Wilkins? Delbert Wilkins? Mm. In fact, didn't our mate Stan Hay write Delbert Wilkins?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Because it was called The Lenny Henry Show, wasn't it? But it was actually a Delbert Wilkins sitcom. Yeah. He did, yeah.
All funny, but my favourite thing he ever did, which was on Tisbos, was when he dressed up as Trevor McDonald and said, my name is McDonut and I read the news, but I'd really much rather be singing the blues.
Yeah. Trevor McDonut. Brilliant.
Trevor McDonut here with the strange love affair between Rose West and Myra Hindley. Both killers, both women. Coincidence? Fucking hell, though.
That's next
Tuesday. Everyone's always trying to go on about how Myra Hindley's better and not a nutter anymore. And
she's dead, though.
Oh, right, she's dead. Oh, that's all right, then.
They're because both dead, aren't they? Oh, no, they're Rose always dead.
They were always Freak going on about it, but as I understand it, she was always trying to claim, wow, I was just a young, innocent woman manipulated by, what's his name? But with Fred and Rose West, from what I've read about it, I'm not like an expert, but as far as I understand it, she was the fucking brains behind the whole thing. And he was the daft, manipulated one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the truth, yeah. But I don't know, we'll find out more if we watch that next week, I suppose. So that'll be interesting. Trevor McDonald, Rose West and Myra Hindley. It's the dream team, isn't it? Really.
What a hat-trick.
What a hat-trick. What was I going to say? There's something else sticking with crime. I thought about this with Dennis Nielsen when I read it yesterday. I'll just find it. It's a police chief has been having a pop at Extinction Rebellion.
Oh, yeah.
It's Metropolitan Police Deputy Commissioner Sir Steve House, and he's described the Extinction... Steve House. He's described the climate protesters as a flipping nuisance and a complete pain in the neck. And he's told the London Assembly's Police and Crime Committee that Extinction Rebellion activists waste police time when they deliberately go limp after being arrested. Which means that four or five officers are required to carry them away. So Steve said, we have asked them to stop being floppy. This is fucking true. He says, it might seem like a silly thing to say, but when we arrest them and pick them up, they go all floppy, which is why you see four or five officers carrying them away. It's a complete waste of officers' time and a complete pain in the neck. If they could just behave like sensible adults, you've made your point, you wanted to be arrested, you've been arrested, get up and walk away with one officer and stop wasting police time.
Our police force, fucking hell.
Can you just grow up and start doing crime properly?
If you're going to be a criminal like a man. And that means keeping your body stiff, not floppy. This sounds like... Do you think Timbrell is involved in Extinction Rebellion somewhere along the line? Because this sounds like the sort of thing he'd put out on his newsletter. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Timbrell's got a newsletter that goes out on the dark net. Yeah,
Timbrell's tips.
Timbrell's tips. Going floppy when in police custody. That's the headline. A lot of people have been writing to me asking how you can mess about with the police and cause them
waste their time.
A huge amount of trouble and time when being arrested. Very simple technique here. It's called the flop.
If you go floppy, it'll take four or five of them to arrest you. That will take up a lot of police time and manpower. I recommend it highly.
Legally, they cannot touch you. Floppiness is not a crime, no matter what they try to tell you.
Fucking hell. Stop acting like fucking toddlers when you're doing crime. Do it properly.
We'll fucking crime it up how we want, peeps.
Oh, we'll put you in a toddler prison if you're not careful.
The country's in such chaos, isn't it?
That's where we're at.
The police are just complaining about things like that. They can't handle. They're begging criminals to behave in a slightly different, not to stop being criminals, but to behave slightly different when they're under arrest.
Do it the right way. Yeah, be decent and English about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. So if you do get arrested, but I mean, I suppose the police cuts mean that they're on about 20% of the budget that they were on before. So they could have handled four or five coppers per person back then.
And that's, now it's one the, one criminal, down, one copper.
One criminal, one copper, that's yeah, what, no
that's
flop.
That's what apparently the Home Office have said. They're doing a survey, a census, to see how many criminals are currently operating in the UK. It's really simple. Yeah. You'll just get a thing through your door and you just have to tick whether or not you're a criminal.
Are you a criminal? Are you currently a criminal?
Are you currently a criminal? And then they calculate how many criminals there are and they just make sure it's a like-for-like thing.
Yeah. If not, are you planning to become a criminal in the next 6 months?
Mm. Is your child showing criminal tendencies? When will they become of criminal age?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another very troubling thing in the news that's been sent to us by a number of concerned cunters.
What's that?
And I don't blame them for being concerned. Just saw this. This one, this particular email is from Harry, Harry Walker, but we've had a few. Just saw this. BBC News, no new 2p or £2 coins being made for 10 years.
Wow.
He says, what do you think the repercussions on the coining community will be? Is it feasible that every 2p will end up in a machine with none to actually coin? Good point. Chris Grace.
I think, go on, is there another one?
Yeah, Chris Grace raises some more questions. So let's get all of the questions and then try and respond to them, because we know people are worried. We're not, I mean, we've stressed this before, we are not in any way involved with any coining authorities. I mean, we're people who know about coining and have been involved in coining our whole lives, but listen, we can never, whatever we say on this podcast, that is not the official line of any coining authorities, so we can only respond, and this news is as new to us as it is to you, so our heads are spinning right now, but we'll do our best.
Yeah.
What is your, this is Chris Grace, morning dickheads, what's your reaction to plans of Royal Mint to bring 2p coins out of circulation in the next 10 years? What action do you expect FICA, he says that's Federation Internationale de Coin and Association, to take?
Yep.
Is this a plot to force the default coining currency up to 5p or even 10p and force the working class person out of the sport and make it more for the elite? TTFN Chris G. Well, that's a good point. This is this, Andy, is this the gentrification of coining we're seeing here?
I don't think it is. I don't think this is something we need to worry about in the immediate, you know, future. I think that two pence pieces aren't going to be used in transactions very much anymore because prices are gradually getting higher. 5p is kind of the minimum. Also, cash transactions themselves are out the window because of COVID and people not wanting to handle cash. I think all those 2p pieces that are currently floating around in the non-coining realm, let's say, will eventually find their way into the coining realm because coiners will collect them, or they'll get them from, they'll swap them from other non-coining friends and family. They'll stockpile them and they'll go into the coining system. So I think this, if anything, this is going to be a boon.
There'll be more coins in the coining system.
I think so, yeah. I think all the 2p will eventually be in the coining realm. And you won't see a 2p piece anywhere in
well, the... Well, I suppose, I hope you're right. The only thing about that is, and I'd say this to all coiners listening, that means if you're coining, remember to reinvest your coins. What I don't want to see, and I have seen it, I don't agree with it, but there's no law against it, is people, they'll get a payout on the coins. Yeah. They'll take them away.
Fucking hell, yeah.
And, like, spend them.
Yeah.
That's, and I just think that's not in the spirit of true coining. You're playing for two, for three things: fun, honour, and prizes.
Prizes, yeah.
No fun, honour, and prizes.
Who is walking away with more 2p than they put in to start with? Not many people.
Yeah, I know.
We realise that we don't make money. It's not a money-making enterprise. It's a prize-gaining enterprise, but it's not a money-making enterprise, is it?
It's a fulfilment-gaining enterprise.
Yeah.
It will enhance you and enrich you and nourish you spiritually. Yeah, of course it will.
Yeah.
But if you're in it for the money, it's a mug's game. You're better off sticking your money on the fucking horses, mate.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. But you've got to think as well, not just about the amount of two pences that are already in those machines right now. What about the change machines in the coining establishments? How many two pence pieces have they got? There's a massive stockpile, I think, of two pence pieces already within the coining realm, as I'm determined to call it from now on.
I hope that Brexit, I mean, I've got a strong feeling that there's a lot of these, like, wild-eyed Brexiters who they were, and, you know, both of us have been clear about our feelings on Brexit, but I would say that there was rumours that Brussels had their eyes on our coining regime. They wanted to switch it up, so we had to start using euro cents.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get their greasy paws on our 2p stockpile, 2p mountains.
What were they going to do, melt it down?
There's 2p lakes, reservoirs, 2p lakes, yeah. And mountains.
Geneva, I think they're in.
Yeah. And they were going to, melt them down, turn them into euros, probably. And we'll
probably get some pedants
that.
Getting in touch now telling us that Geneva's not in the EU, but fuck off. yeah. So I'm not worried. I'm not worried in the immediate future. I think the two pences will eventually find their way to their natural home, which is the coining realm.
Calming voice there. A calming voice from
Andy.
Yeah,
I try to be. Was there anything else that coming?
Just don't panic, everyone. Don't worry, I'm going to do some T-shirts that say fun, honour, prizes, right? As a reminder to all of you, what we are involved in coining for.
With a little pile of two pence pieces there in the corner.
Yeah, it'd be quite nice that, wouldn't it?
Lovely that, wouldn't it, for Christmas?
Oh, I've already got the man in mind who might do us a lovely little coining illustration.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Right, so yeah, just a timely reminder there of why it is we're all involved in coining and what it brings to all of us as individuals and as a society.
Jalapeño.
If you like what you've been listening to on Top Flight Time Machine, why not consider heading over to patreon.com/Top Flight Time Machine, where you can subscribe. Not only does your monthly subscription help support this podcast and keep it going, it also gives you access to a huge amount of extra exclusive content.
Loads of extra episodes, yeah.
You'll be getting an episode a day. And
pretty
it
much.
Costs less than a fiver, less than a pint.
Whether
a
you
month.
Like it or not. Go to tftimemachine.com/ironfilings to find out more and get involved.
There's T-shirts and everything. I mean, for fuck's sake, what more do you want?
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
There's a piece on the Guardian website today of 10 of the funniest podcasts around, and none of the podcasts that we're involved with, Sam, are included in the top 10 list.
Oh,
have you got anything
God.
To say about that?
You're not going to talk us through them, because then we'll only say mean things about the ones that are involved, and then I'll feel guilty afterwards because the people involved are probably perfectly
I'm
nice.
I'm not going to read out the list. I wouldn't give it the fucking house room or the oxygen of publicity. we're not on there, and that's the main thing.
Well, that's good.
Do you think that's because we're operating as outsiders?
Why do we need to be in a list in The Guardian? Well, our podcast is thriving. Our fans are the best podcast fans around. And I'll tell you something else about the cunting community, the cunter community, is that they're exactly the sort of people who would not get their fucking information from newspaper articles, right?
Yeah, they get it from us.
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, look, I see us very much as the Clash of this movement, right?
Oh, God.
No one discovered the Clash by reading top 10 punk bands in the Guardian newspaper, did they?
All right, yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, fuck that.
While we're talking about music, something else I just remembered. I always like to give TV tips and stuff. Sky Arts, which I think is now on Freeview as well. So everyone can see Sky Arts. Saturday night, 9 o'clock, there's a documentary about madness. What's not to love about that?
Great. Did you ever used to watch that film that they made, Take It or Leave It?
Take It or Leave It, yeah. Brilliant film. Yeah.
I had that on VHS when I was a kid. I think it belonged to one of my brothers. And I used to watch the fuck out of that.
It's great, isn't it?
I think it's a long-lost classic, actually. Yeah.
I thought that might have been on as well, because after the Madness documentary, Take It or Leave It, by the way, 39 years ago that was made. Fucking hell. Take It or Leave It. Sorry, after the Madness documentary at 9, there's a documentary about Lee Thompson, the sax player at Madness.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of like a bonus Madness documentary. So that's back-to-back Saturday night.
I think that Style Council documentary is coming out soon as well.
Next month, I think, yeah. Next month.
Yeah, which will be good. We'll definitely be talking about that after we had a very enjoyable interview with Mick Talbot from Style Council on our Humans of Honour episode from a couple of months ago. If you haven't listened to it, give it a listen. He's a top bloke.
Mate,
music documentaries, you're the expert on these. I was listening. You're a big fan of Paul Heaton, the work of Paul Heaton, and why wouldn't you be? He is a genius. This morning I found myself humming the House Martins song Step Outside, which is a lovely song that I often think about this time of year. I don't know why. I don't even know what it's about. But I stuck it on and I really enjoyed it. And then I thought, fucking hell, what a songwriter Paul Heaton is. And then I thought, why haven't I seen more documentaries about him and the House Martins? And then I do remember you recommending one quite a long time ago.
There was
anyway,
one.
I looked it up. Is it the Channel 4 one?
Yeah, it was on at like fucking 12:15 in the morning after everyone had gone to bed. And Paul Heaton, to me, is the best British pop songwriter of the last 40 years. Bottom one.
I think he might. And also it's like, it's when you listen to like the Style Council, not Style Council, the House Martins, and you think of white soul bands, right? British white soul bands. People would talk about people like Style Council, for instance. But the House Martins, this is like fucking these lads from Hull who wore like jumpers and clothes from Millets. But it's soul music. It's just like, he could just do it. Somehow he just knew how to do it.
And then, of course, they drifted into gospel a cappella with Caravan of Love and got a number one.
Yeah.
Not it's many fucking incredible. Do that.
Like, where the fuck did he come from and how did he learn how to do that? How was he basically like someone who'd been born and raised in fucking Detroit or Alabama, right? But he's just some bloke from fucking Hull in a woolly jumper, right? I don't understand it. And so I wanted to know more. So I just wanted to ask you, and I might as well do it on air because some of our listeners might also be interested.
Just from what I can remember from the documentary, I think he just grew up just listening to loads and loads of soul music.
Right.
He wasn't massively... I mean, he was in punk groups and things like that because that was what you did back then.
You had to be, yeah.
Unless you were Kevin Rowland and you were determined to, like, make some kind of soul group.
Yeah.
With Dexys Midnight Runners. But, yeah, I think he just grew up listening to it and it just filtered into the music that he wrote. But he's just done it continually since, what, 1985 when House Martin started? And he still writes brilliant songs.
Does he still own a pub? Didn't he own a pub?
Well, no. That pub we did we played in Salford, that was his pub. The King's Arms. Yeah.
In Salford? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it still his now?
No, it's not. He'd sold it on by then, but that was the pub that he had in Salford.
Fucking hell.
And we played there.
Bloody hell, what an honour.
I mean, the first two shows we did were in a venue owned by Frankie and the Heartstrings. Second shows we did, the night after, Paul Heaton's former pub.
Fucking hell.
Can I tell you
then
something?
We were at that pub in Liverpool with him from the farm and the manager of Echo and the Bunnymen.
And then him from Frankie Goes to Hollywood came over and had a word.
Fucking hell, those were the days. I hope next year we can go on tour again and revisit this glamorous lifestyle.
I know. This is something, this is not Top Track Time Machine related, but the first Atletico Mints live show we did, was it King's Place in London? Well, yes. We did our first live show
as well.
Yeah,
that one that next to the Guardian newspaper, yeah.
Yeah, well, we played in the smaller room, but the Mince show was in the main room. Yeah. And that stage, I only found out later, fucking Prince had played on that stage once.
Fuck me.
If I'd known that, I'd have been on my hands and knees licking the fucking floor.
Well, as it happens, I did that anyway, but for different reasons.
Not on the stage we were on. We weren't big enough to be on the Prince stage.
I did do it on our small stage. No, just on our small stage, just had a lick.
You just wanted to lick it.
To be honest, I was just curious what it tasted like.
Is that a tradition you've got now in all the shows we do?
Yeah, I go out and have a lick around on the stage, like a dog might do before he takes a piss.
Stage lick.
I just go out to lick the stage, Andy. Yeah, all right.
All right, mate. Sound check, stage lick, sandwich.
Well, that fucking venue, I had some sunglasses and some fucking Bose headphones nicked from there.
From the London one? Not the pub.
King's Place, in the fucking green room backstage. I left them there. There was a load of other podcasters hanging around. I'm not going to name names. I didn't recognise all of them. But there was a few of them, you know, warming up for their live podding. And and I just fucking stupidly left two in-ear Bose Sports headphones and a pair of Ray-Bans. I mean, that's quite a lot of quality. It was stupid of me to leave them, but they'd gone when we came off the show. Imagine that someone nicking while we were performing. How dare they?
On the big stage that night was Sue Perkins being interviewed.
So I said I wasn't going to name names, but I do remember her being in the green room.
It feels like a Sue Perkins kind of thing, isn't it?
It's a Perkins move, isn't it?
Yeah.
As soon as I went on, she's given it. That cunt there. Those cunts, where they gone? They're gone on stage, are they? How long do you reckon the show is? Hour. Fucking plenty of time to have those. But I've had my eye on a pair of those fucking headphones and a pair of Ray-Bans, and I've been looking on Amazon, right? And they're not fucking cheap. Right, and because me and Mel decided not to go to take the Channel 4 money when Hollywood and fucking those cunts jumped ship, didn't they? But I can tell you, it's left us right out of pocket. So I've had to cut down on my Amazon spending big style. So I was just going to get some shitty, like, Chinese rip-off AirPods, right? And Mel got some, and she said they didn't even work that well, right? They look the business. They look like you got real ones, but half the time you're listening to all your music through one ear. So this is fucking perfect for me. And the sunglasses, that's just the bonus. Who doesn't want a pair of Ray-Bans?
Well, you're walking around listening to music.
Yeah. Fucking listening to me new music. Probably listening to a bit of Billy Idol.
Yeah. I mean, as we say, we're not naming names, but pretty sure
could have been Sue Perkins.
It could have been.
If you have any information on Sue Perkins or any other podcaster that it could have been, but probably Sue Perkins, about the whereabouts of my headphones and sunglasses from 2.5 years ago, please do get in touch.
Please get in touch. No reward available.
Andy, in your life, your day-to-day going about, just Andy Dawson in about, how often do you have to conceal food about your person?
Conceal? Never.
And I don't mean in your guts.
Fucking never.
Right.
You see going about and that. I don't do a lot of going about. As this new lockdown in the northeast will show, my life has been affected hardly at all by the new lockdown.
As long as you're allowed to go out in your back garden and get in your hammock, then you're not going to complain to anyone.
Up the Asda to get a bit of shopping in, that's about it at the minute. But I never hide food. Do you hide food? Why do you ask?
I've been doing a lot of food hiding. Thought I'd bring up, in case you or any of the cunters could relate. Basically, my wife hides...
A good wife.
..like the tasty snacks. She's a good wife, but she hides the tasty snacks, and she probably thinks that's part of being a good wife, because...
Hides them from you?
She knows I have. She hides them from me.
Right.
Maybe from the kids as well, but I think mainly from me.
Mainly from me,
because the kids, even if they know where they are, they know what the boundaries are about, just helping themselves to treat foods.
The kids have probably got more self-control than you have.
100% they have, yeah. And I have no self-control. And if there's any treat, like a sweet treat or a salted treat in the house, that's it. Bang. It's all gone in my fucking guts as soon as it's in the house.
In the guts. Can I just ask you before you go any further? Can you just check that we're still recording? Because we had a bit of a fuck-up the other day. It just came to mind. You are. Yeah. Carry on. Thank you.
Yeah, so it.
Well,
I've been doing it loads. Like, I've done it this morning, coming up here. My good wife's downstairs working at home today. And I went downstairs and said, I'm just making a cup of tea. And I was round the corner. She was sat at the dining table. I was round the corner in the kitchen.
Round the corner.
And I made a cup of tea in my metal pot, put it all on a tray. She knows that's my MO when I'm about to podcast. But I was fucking peckish, and I could see it was a couple of hours till lunchtime. So I went into the cupboard and I saw there was a six-pack of hula hoops, right? Probably for the kids' lunches. So I thought, I'm going to have one of those upstairs because I knew that she wouldn't take kindly to me taking some. So what I found myself doing, I'm 45 years old. I'm a 45-year-old father of two, a taxpayer.
Yeah.
Former editor of Enter the CD-ROM magazine. You know, a man of experience and achievement is what I'm saying.
Registered on the government list as not a criminal as well.
Exactly. And I found myself thinking, right, I've got to get those crisps, those hula hoops, out of the bag, the mother bag. Is that what you call it? The outer bag.
The holding bag.
Yeah, the whole bag. I've got to get one bag out of there.
Yeah.
And then I've got to conceal them, right, so I can get past my wife, because I've got to go past her to get to the stairs and upstairs.
Not easy, because they're noisy.
I put my hand in, it was really noisy. So I literally put the kettle on, because it's quite a noisy boil, and then, to double cover myself, turned on both taps, right?
Yeah.
That concealed the rustling. I hid them. I'm wearing a pair of, like, army style, you know, fatigue shorts, the ones that have got pockets on the side.
Deep pockets, yeah.
Yeah. And I hid them in a side pocket, the thigh pocket.
Did she not identify the kettle as a distraction boil?
No, because I told her I was making tea, and that was beautiful because I walked past her with a pot of tea. And I'd ask, do you want a cup of tea? She might have thought, why did it boil twice?
Yeah, well, but, yeah, exactly. Distraction boil.
Yeah, but she might have thought, oh, he's boiled it, and then he's left it for too long before pouring it out, so he just wants to give it a little reboil. You can do that, can't you?
Cause you can.
I don't
you
like can. It when people boil and then leave it for 5 minutes and then pour. It's not boiled then.
No, you got to reboil.
You got to reboil.
Yeah.
So that's what I dressed it up as. I had my story ready. As it happened, I didn't need to deploy it, but I had my cover story ready. It's like, it was a fucking reboil. Are you sure that wasn't a distraction boil?
It was not a distraction boil,
it was a reboil.
Do you want to fucking search me or something?
Fucking search my pockets if you think I've got hula hoops in them, if that's what you're saying. And she's like, whoa, 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 no one said anything about hula hoops.
Right, up against the wall now. This is a search.
You talked yourself into this. I wasn't even thinking about fucking hula hoops or you said it, right? Anyway... But that wasn't the first time. I mean, I'm doing this a lot. I'm exercising a lot at the moment. Like, every day I'm doing long, like, 5 mile runs, shit like that. And so, which is good, because it's good for my fitness, but it's good for my mental health, because if I do go out and do that in the morning, I'm sort of in a good mood most of the time. But as a result, I'm blaming that on my, I'm even more insatiably greedy than usual. It's a good excuse.
You need carbs,
burn all these fucking calories, aren't I? I mean, of course I got stuffed my face with hula hoops. Give me hula hoops. I've just had a 5 mile run. Sometimes I eat hula hoops while I'm running.
I'm entitled to my hula hoops.
You need them, don't you? Have you seen Joe Wicks? He says you've got to refuel with hula hoops as soon as you finish exercising.
When the footballers come off at the end, they all get pizza. I'm entitled to my fucking hula hoops.
Last night it was worse, right? Last night it was worse. A worse confession than the hula hoops. Because bear in mind, I do this every day. That I'm always, like, doing secret snacking all the time. Like, in more and more mad and creative ways. It reminds me of when I had a drink and coke habit.
I was going to say, are you going to reach a point where you're hiding multi-backs of hula hoops in the cistern and the toilet?
That is the sort of shit I'd do. I mean, you know, when I was, abusing too many substances, I was you become very sneaky and crafty. It's not nice, actually.
You've got to be careful.
You reveal to yourself dark sides that you didn't know existed. Yeah. And obviously, I'm years past all of that now, but I can see that some of the techniques and skills I obviously learned during that time, I'm now using for crisps and sweets. Last night, no lie, we were sitting, like, my son had already gone to bed, but it was about 9, right? And my daughter is currently watching Twin Peaks for the first time, which she loves, which is great. I'm so happy she loves it. I think, you know, if one of your if your children are into Twin Peaks, you know they're on the right track life, aren't they? Yeah, you're an all right person. You really are into Twin Peaks, right?
The Series 3 comeback from a couple of years ago is a bit of a leap, but, you know, get to that when you do. Don't worry about that now.
But she's on Season 1 and she's bricking it about Bob and stuff like that. Mm. Anyway, I didn't want to watch it because I've not been watching it with her. I'm not quite free. She's watching it with my good wife. And so I said, do you know what? I'm really tired. I might just go up to bed now. They thought, that's weird. It's only 9 o'clock. And I thought, the thing is, I'm desperate for something sweet, but I can't tell them. So I went into the little side room where the washing machine and all that is, and I know that there's quite a few hiding spots that my wife utilises. So I pretended, I can't remember what I pretended I was looking for, some batteries.
Yeah. Why? I said, I'll go out, Ben. I've just got to get some batteries first.
It's to do with the podcast. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry, you just get on with Twin Peaks. I'm just going to go and look for some batteries in here.
But in fact, I was searching around like a fucking pig hunting for truffles. And sure enough, on the shelf above the fucking washing machine, right, there was a plastic box. And inside of it, there was loads of jelly sweets, you know, jellied fruits, vegetarian jellied fruits. I thought, fucking big, hey, jackpot, I thought, right? So I fucking thought, I'm never going to get this box past them. So I opened the box and I filled my pockets of my pyjama bottoms that I already had on. I filled my pockets with jellied fruits. I loaded them. I couldn't stop. I had about like 8 in each pocket, 16 in total, and they were quite large. And then I said, anyway, I'm just going to have a little read of my book upstairs. So I went upstairs and I got under the cover and I got my iPad and started reading a book. But I was just like this, munch, 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 because I thought she could come up at any moment to check up on me. Or one of them could come up to go to the loo and then poke their head round. They'll go, you're right, and they'll catch me.
But that's part of the thrill, isn't it?
I fucking munched 16 jellied fruits, right?
Yeah.
Then I quickly cleaned my teeth and then just switched the light out. Sleep, sleep, sleep.
Yeah. Sleep well, did you, after the jelly fruit?
I slept well until 4 o'clock and then I woke up with my mind swimming with wild, Richard, outlandish fears and anxieties.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, I think you need to keep an eye on this because this sounds like it's repeated behaviour and it sounds like something could spiral out of control, Sam. But I'm glad you told us.
I bet you cunters can get in touch and tell me about their food hiding, because I'm interested in food hiding stories from other people too.
Yeah. Well, can we, before we go,
we haven't done any score predictions
this weekend's football?
Yeah, doing quick.
Yeah, we'll do that. Here we go. Manchester United versus Crystal Palace.
2-0.
2-0. I guess you're sitting at Manchester United there, yeah?
Yeah.
2-0 at Manchester United. I'm going to go for 3-0 at Manchester United. Newcastle United versus Brighton. I'll go first on this one. I think it will be 2-1 to Newcastle.
3-1 Newcastle.
3-1 to Newcastle, says Sam. Results, but of course, is pre-programmed to say 1-0 to all of these. Yeah. Arsenal versus West Ham United.
Oh, 0-1. West Ham to nick it, 1-0.
0-1, says Sam. They're predicting a West Ham win there. I think it will be 2-0 to Arsenal. Sorry about that. Oxford versus Sunderland. I'll go first this time. I can't look beyond a 1-1.
I was going to say 1-1. Okay, I'm going to say 1-0 to Sunderland.
Okay. Bit of power play, that, I think. Finally, Rotherham versus Millwall.
Rotherham 2, Millwall 1.
I think this will be 1-1 as well. I know nothing about either team. All right, that's it. And the predictions are now locked in.
Good stuff.
And we'll leave it there. It's been a nice episode. I've enjoyed it.
Yes, so have I. Nice enjoy your That's weekend, amazing. Folks. And yes. Screw the list in The Guardian. Just spread it to all of your mates, your family, your friends, yeah. and strangers on the street that we're the funniest podcast in the world.
Send them this episode, because I think this has been a good demonstration of what this football podcast's really about.
Yeah, hiding food.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, take the effort, dickheads.
Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.